Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it till my fingers bled, was a summer of 69.
This sense is a threshold requirement for people to live in freedom and together in a free society. It is the solid rock, as Jesus said, in this case, upon which to build a nation. It is not conformity. It is not victory. It is not polite weariness or passivity born of exhaustion. Unity is not partisan. Rather, unity is a way of being with one another, that it encompasses and respects our differences, that teaches us to hold multiple perspectives and life experiences as valid and worthy of respect, that enables us in our communities and in the halls of power to genuinely care for one another, even when we disagree.
Now, you might say, what is that boring stuff? Okay, so this was one of the big stories early last week. And, of course, a lot of stuff I did not get time to cover last week because of our snowstorm. Obviously, we had to focus on that. But at the National Prayer Service, where you had J.D. Vance and his wife, and you had President Trump and his wife, and you had Pastor Reverend Marianne Buddy preaching a sermon in the pulpit. It was about 15 minutes long, and the only parts you probably heard on the news were like the very end parts. But I wanted to give you a little sense of the tone, because like all things, you have to always judge the thing in its context of everything that happened. And this has been one of those very polarizing sermons, because she directly addressed the president and asked him to show mercy on basically gays and immigrants. Okay. And there's been a lot of conversation about this. And I, you know, before we talk about whether that was appropriate or not, I wanted to give you, you know, some sense of kind of the overall what she was trying to do. And, you know, she was obviously talking about unity, not coming from agreement, but coming from trying to work together on a common goal, that, you know, we're supposed to think about each other as fellow citizens, that we're supposed to sacrifice for each other in the name of unity, just like you do in a marriage, just like you do in a friendship, just like you do in a business environment. You make sacrifices for each other. That's how relationships work, that nationally, culturally, civically, sacrifice is an important part of building a functioning political society.
Those across our country who dedicate their lives or who volunteer to help others in times of natural disaster, often at great risk to themselves, never ask those they are helping for whom they voted in a past election or what positions they hold on a particular issue. And we are at our best when we follow their example. For unity at times is sacrificial in the way that love is sacrificial. A giving of ourselves for the sake of another.
And she laid the groundwork for explaining that the welcoming of the outsider, the stranger, which is the immigrant, in your fold is a very biblical concept.
In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus of Nazareth exhorts us to love not only our neighbors, but to love our enemies, and to pray for those who persecute us, to be merciful as our God is merciful, to forgive others as God forgives us. And Jesus went out of his way to welcome those whom his society deemed as outcasts.
Right, tax collectors and prostitutes, sinners of all sorts, right? That, I mean, that's a hallmark of his ministry. And again, this is all set up. This is all getting to where she eventually got, but you cannot judge where she got to until you listen to how she got there, in my opinion. You always have to look at the whole. This is like, I don't like to take clips from anybody's speech, whether it's a Trump speech or a Biden speech or anything else. I want to listen to the whole thing. And, you know, in context is how you have to judge anything.
Is true unity among us even possible? And why should we care about it? Well, I hope we care. I hope we care. Because the culture of contempt that has become normalized in this country threatens to destroy us.
Amen.
We are all bombarded daily with messages from what sociologists now call the outrage industrial complex. Some of that driven by external forces whose interests are furthered by a polarized America. Contempt fuels political campaigns and social media, and many profit from that. But it's a worrisome, it's a dangerous way to lead a country.
So you see where she's going, right? I mean, she's not directly addressing the president here, but she's saying contempt is not a good way to lead, that attacking the dignity of other people, especially those who disagree. She goes on to say, we've got to be honest, but we have to have humility in our even belief that we know the truth about something. Yes, we have to say the truth, but we have to say the truth with the recognition that we might be wrong if people disagree with us, and that we have to avoid arrogance.
And the third and last foundation I'll mention today is, foundation for unity is humility, which we all need. Because we are all fallible human beings. We make mistakes. We say and do things that we later regret. We have our blind spots and our biases, and perhaps we are most dangerous to ourselves and others when we are persuaded without a doubt that we are absolutely right and someone else is absolutely wrong. Because then we are just a few steps from labeling ourselves as the good people versus the bad people. And the truth is that we're all people. We're both capable of good and bad.
And as the Bible pretty clearly teaches, we lean towards the bad all kinds of times. So I'll come back with her main comments that got the news, and I'll give you my evaluation in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even Highway 90 is looking good coming from Pace into Pensacola. And let's see here, Highway 29 starting to clear up a little bit just north of Airport Boulevard. Also, remember that school is back in session today for both Escambia and Santa Rosa County, so make sure you yield to those school buses. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, so she has, thank you so much, John. So she has set up, again, about a 15-minute sermon, where she has set up, or homily if you prefer, this whole idea of unity, kindness, humility, you know, blessing your enemies, praying for your enemies, trying to do good to those who treat you terribly. Very robust themes, especially in the New Testament, but even in the Old Testament. And then this is the part where you, and you could see both Trump and Vance were just unhappy to be there. The wives were actually doing a better job of taking it, but, you know, Trump and Vance were not taking it very well, and then it came to this part.
Let me make one final plea, Mr. President. Millions have put their trust in you. And as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God. In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families. Some who fear for their lives.
So that's the part one. And here's the part two.
And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, Wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here.
So what do you think my analysis of this is going to be? If you had to guess, what do you think my analysis of this is going to be? Well, I'll tell you what it is. I have no problem with this at all. Now, I don't necessarily agree with her, and I certainly don't agree with her about the endorsing of the, you know, rainbow agenda. But I not only don't have a problem with this, I kind of celebrate it. Because the way I was raised, maybe you were raised differently, but the way I was raised was with a phrase that though I disagree vehemently with your point of view, I will fight to the death to protect your right to say it. And I don't have a problem with a pastor preaching politics. You say, well, it's rude to scold the president. She's not scolding him. She's begging him to have mercy. That's a very Christian request. She's terrified. You could hear it in her voice. That's a scary thing to stand in a pulpit and criticize the president of the United States, especially this particular president with his disposition. And what she's asking him to do is to remember the weak, remember the outcast, remember the marginalized, and have mercy. It's a very Christian thing to request the leader of the free world to do. So let me put the shoe on the other foot for just a second, because I know people got this wrong a lot in reaction to this speech. I want you to imagine President Biden in the National Prayer Breakfast or National Prayer Service after he gets inaugurated. And I want you to imagine some conservative, Southern Baptist, non-denominational pastor preaching to him about the value of the life of the unborn. And scolding him as a Catholic for being pro-choice. Would you have said that was inappropriate? Or would you have said bravo to whoever did that for standing up for the truth? See, I don't have a problem with pastors preaching what they believe is true. That's their obligation. I want them to get it right. And though I disagree, I think I disagree, because I don't know her views on this, I probably disagree with her about whether she thinks that, you know, gay and lesbian is morally okay or what God thinks of that. Okay. But particularly on the immigrant thing. And also, remember, the New Testament is full of sort of sexual misfits being attended to by God. You know, the prostitute, okay? The Ethiopian eunuch is, I mean, sexually disfigured. And Philip goes and preaches to that man and saves him. One of the first acts of evangelism in the New Testament. I mean, like, and if you read the Bible, Jesus has extraordinarily sharp words about the religious leaders of his day, the Pharisees. He doesn't talk super nice about them. And you've got a whole history in the Old Testament of prophets confronting political leaders again and again and again. Even, you know, one of the most famous, you know, Nathan going to David after he slept with Bathsheba. I mean, just, it's a question of whether you're evaluating the situation based on who you like or what viewpoint you like, or whether you're evaluating on the basis of principle. And the principle's got to be pastors should preach what they believe to be true, fearlessly, because that's their job. That's their calling. And so, no, I don't have a problem. In fact, you know, I was thinking, like, what could she have done differently if she wanted to do this sermon but not directly address the president? Because some people say, well, she shouldn't directly address the president. Why? Should she preach sort of as if she's not talking to him when he's right there and she's talking about him? I mean, that would be even worse. That would be almost lying, like trying to pretend it's not a sermon to him. It was clearly a sermon to him. Now, was it a good sermon? It wasn't all that powerful rhetorically. That's the only thing I would say. But as far as, you know, is it appropriate? Yes. I want pastors to speak truth to power. And so then you have the question of his response. And I think the most discouraging thing I read about President Trump last week, he did a lot of great things last week, was his response to her. This was the thing he posted on Truth Social. The so-called bishop who spoke at the National Prayer Service on Tuesday morning was a radical left, hardline Trump hater. She brought her church into the world of politics in a very ungracious way. She was nasty in tone and not compelling or smart. She failed to mention the large number of illegal migrants that came into our country and killed people. Many were deposited from jails and mental institutions. It is a giant crime wave that is taking place in the USA. Apart from her inappropriate statements, the service was a very boring and uninspiring one. She is not very good at her job. She and her church owe the public an apology. Sir, you failed. I mean, you had a chance to hear the message. You had a chance to respond in a Christian way, in a gracious way, in all kinds of ways, and you didn't do it right. And I hope that the religious people around him will help him see that. 725 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. 437-1620, if you agree or disagree with me, always your texts are welcome. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 are looking good. But if you're on 98 eastbound, just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, you're going to start seeing those delays there just due to congestion. Other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I want to remind you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are God's creation, and marvelous are His works. You bear the stamp known as the Imago Dei, as you are made in the image of God. So there's no sense in worrying about how tall or short you are. There's no sense in comparing your looks to the looks of someone else. God made you just as you are. The Bible says He covered you in your mother's womb. He formed you in her belly. Psalm 139:17 says that you are in God's thoughts. I'm telling you, He loves you very much. The exact way He made you provides you unique opportunities to live for His glory. So praise Him for His marvelous works.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Start your year in a new Subaru from Anderson Subaru. 2024 Crosstrek model starting at $25,262. 2024 Forester Wilderness model starting at $36,222. And 2025 Outback model start at $28,868. Love is out there. Find it at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29 just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Jimmy Patronis failed us, presiding over what Trump called the worst insurance crisis in the country, while his PAC accepted millions from the insurance industry.
Patronis' campaign is even being funded by the liberal anti-Trump group Americans for Prosperity.
Like Donald Trump and Elon Musk, I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman. I'm the only candidate with the outsider experience to make it happen.
I'm Gene Valentino, and I approve this message.
Republican for Congress, District 1.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Matt Damon.
somebody texts in and says, I would not have supported a preacher preaching at Biden's prayer service either, or first service either. Well, at least that's consistent. I mean, if you're going to say that preachers should not be political, at least that's consistent. 729 News Radio 92.3, David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Yeah, multiple people are recovering now after a car drove through a crowd of Philadelphia Eagles fans last night. That happened as fans were celebrating the Eagles' victory over the Washington Commanders. A suspect is in custody. No charges have been announced as of yet.
Thanks so much, David. I appreciate that. Somebody says, are we not doing the podcast anymore? Yeah, we're doing the podcast. Always, every day. John puts the podcast every single day, the whole show. Somebody says, somebody called me a fool, so cool. Well, welcome to the party. Somebody else says, I agree with you also. Thanks for shining light on it. I understand. That's why I brought it up.
News. I'm Chris Foster. Back pay and benefits are coming for service members discharged for refusing a COVID vaccine. Also, reinstatement to the military if they want.
More than 8,000 servicemen and women were discharged between 2021 and 2023 because they refused to get vaccinated against COVID. And then once the military's mandate was repealed in 2023, only 43 people actually tried to go back.
Fox's Peter Ducey. The Kansas City Chiefs could be the first team to win three Super Bowls in a row after beating Buffalo 32-29 for the AFC Championship on a field goal with 3 minutes left.
Their opponents will be the same team that they beat in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, the Eagles. Philadelphia with a 55-23 win over the Washington Commanders in the NFC title game, as Washington committed four turnovers, all of which led to Eagles touchdowns.
Fox's Greg Thompson, Saquon Barkley, and Jalen Hurts scored three touchdowns each. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Nice warm start to the morning right now, 53 and cloudy in Pensacola. A 77-year-old Santa Rosa County woman has died after a car crash on Old Baghdad Highway. That happened on Saturday. FHP says the woman likely suffered a medical emergency, which caused her to run off the road and hit a tree. She was taken to Santa Rosa Medical Center and later passed away. Investigators in Santa Rosa County looking into a fatal shooting. The sheriff's office says they responded to a residence for a welfare check over the weekend. Family members had reached out concerned for the safety of Alan Phillips. Investigators say the family had not heard from him in several days. Deputies entered the home and found Phillips dead with a gunshot wound to the chest. His wife, Tequila Phillips, was identified as a suspect and taken into custody in Wetumpka, Alabama. Officials say she had been evasive about her husband's whereabouts prior to his body being found. Tequila Phillips is now awaiting extradition to Florida in the case. A man wanted on a homicide charge has been arrested in Santa Rosa County. The sheriff's office says 31-year-old Toby White was taken into custody over the weekend. He was wanted on a second-degree murder charge. The investigation into that case continues. One of the FBI's most wanted was arrested in Florida this weekend, Missouri's Donald Eugene Fields II. He was arrested on Saturday in Lake County, according to police. An officer pulled over a vehicle because the license plate didn't match the car and Fields was driving. Fields had been one of the FBI's 10 most wanted fugitives for almost 2 years now. He was wanted on child sex trafficking and rape charges. State lawmakers are in Tallahassee for the start of a special legislative session today. Governor DeSantis called for the session to address illegal immigration, condo reform, and storm relief. Proposed bills would call for the state to stop offering in-state tuition for illegal immigrants living in Florida, place new requirements on police to enforce immigration law, and change the petition process for state constitutional amendments. The governor says if changes are made, other states could step up and start doing the same thing. Well, it's International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Tamar Major with Yad Vashem says that the day honoring 6 million Jews killed in the Holocaust is always significant, but this year even more significant because it comes as the hostage prisoner exchange continues in Gaza.
We are living in a world of rising anti-Semitism, and if we cannot remember the lessons from the past, then we are doomed to have them happen again.
There's dozens of events across Florida recognizing victims and celebrating the resilience of survivors. Today is also the 80th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. And Senator Rick Scott says he believes Colombia's reversal on deportation flights shows America really is back. Colombia's president decided yesterday to allow flights carrying Colombian citizens being deported from the U.S. into the country. He initially had resisted allowing the flights into Colombia before President Trump threatened sanctions. Senator Scott says it was thanks to Trump's leadership that that happened. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, you can visit watsonfirm.com. Still no accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, you are going to see some congestion delays. Also, if you're approaching the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29 from Highway 29 through 9 Mile going southbound, you're going to see some congestion delays there also. And 98 just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, you're seeing some slowdowns there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be dealing with a mostly cloudy day today with showers and thunderstorms for north of I-10 area. High today near 61 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 47. As you go into Tuesday, high near 62 with partly cloudy skies. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 52 degrees. Stay connected at Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. 53 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze. 51 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Sales of previously occupied U.S. homes fell in 2024 to a nearly 30-year low as elevated mortgage rates and rising home prices freeze prospective home buyers out of the market. The National Association of Realtors said that existing home sales totaled $4.06 million last year, which is a 0.7% decline from 2023. The new 2.5% cost of living adjustment for Social Security beneficiaries marks the lowest increase since 2021. With prices still high, many beneficiaries are likely still feeling the increase wasn't quite enough. That's according to Jen Jones, Vice President of Financial Security at AARP. Meta is offering deals to creators to promote Instagram on other short-form video apps, including TikTok, Snapchat, and YouTube. That's according to CNBC. The contract also requires 3 months of posting exclusively on Instagram before the creator can post content elsewhere. Futures are sharply lower amid the AI tech sell-off. That's Your Money Now.
Ladies, are you looking to make a big difference in the new year? I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100, Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded over $17 million to nonprofit organizations in our community. Women 18 and older are invited to upcoming meet and mingle events, with March 1st as our membership deadline. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit impact100pensacola.org.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
The Republican primary election to replace ex-Congressman Matt Gaetz happens on Tuesday, January 28th. This is your chance to vote in a new voice who's been with you every step of the way. I'm Michael Dylan Thompson, Pensacola native and the only candidate on the ballot who voters petitioned to be there. In this Republican primary, you have a critical choice to make. Either the local who will fight for you or more of the same insider corruption. It's a choice between Northwest Florida values or the lobbyist-funded establishment. Instead of taking super PAC and special interest money to litter your mailbox with mailers, I'm asking you personally for your vote. Let's come together to bring in a new era of strong, conservative leadership as we fight to revitalize our infrastructure, protect our veterans, and battle these predatory insurance companies. AOC and the Democrats have a monopoly on the young vote, but we finally have the answer. This movement is how we strengthen our majority in the House and ensure our conservative values guide the future. Vote today for Michael Dylan Thompson, and let's make history together.
Paid for by Michael Dylan Thompson for Congress, Republican.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Ray Yingst in Kyiv.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. America is listening to Fox News Radio.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 7:40 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. As Devo reminds us, go vote tomorrow. If you live in our listening area, you get to vote as long as you're registered and you're a Republican. You get to vote in the Republican primary for Congressional District 1. There's only 10 candidates to consider, so it's an easy choice. Ridiculous. Anyway, Tappy Villain is the supervisor of elections in Santa Rosa County. And Tappy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, welcome back. So you have been given an extra special gift this year, not only a special election for Congressional District 1 that is tomorrow, but now we have the dates announced for the Republican primary and the general election for Congressional District 3 in the State House of Representatives, vacated by Dr. Joel Rudman, right?
That is correct. We received that present on Tuesday when we were having the blizzard. So yes, that announcement was made by the state. And so you are correct. We will have a special primary on none other than April Fool's Day, the same day as we're doing the special general for Congressional District 1. And then that will be followed by a general election, if necessary, dependent upon who qualifies, on June 10th.
So it's hard not to laugh at some of these things. And your comment was funny, that special gift. But also that it's on April Fool's Day is extra just entertaining on top of everything else. So I had actually called you, I think, on Friday or maybe, and I had asked you kind of how this is going to work because I was confused or just had questions. Because on the one hand, if you've got a general election going on April 1st, then everybody votes and everybody gets the same ballot. But if you also have a primary going on, then only Republicans get to vote, and they're going to have a different ballot, but you don't want to have two ballots. You're certainly not going to be running two separate. And it's also weird because it's not all of Santa Rosa County. It's only, you know, it's not the beachy parts. It's really in Alexandrade's District 2. Plus, then you're in Okaloosa County. How are you going to do this? It seems super complicated.
Does when you first think about it, there was actually one of these very similar elections that was held in Palm Beach and Broward County a few years ago, and so it has been done. But basically, what it will be, and there's some variables that you and I had discussed the other day that we just don't know yet. And the biggest one is we don't know who's going to qualify.
Right.
But basically, this election will be set up like a primary election. And so dependent upon who qualifies, that will be dependent upon how many ballot styles we have. And so, you know, historically in a primary, we have, you know, a Republican ballot style, a Democratic ballot style, and a nonpartisan ballot style. We could have those three ballot styles, but again, it's going to be dependent upon who qualifies February 3rd and 4th. So we will know more in the upcoming, week or two. And we'll definitely keep people posted. That's how it will work. People won't get two different ballot styles. And as you said, there will be some voters that, because they're in a different House district, they won't be eligible at all.
Okay.
They will only be eligible for the congressional district.
Okay, so let me run through the scenarios, and you tell me if I'm thinking about this the right way. Somebody who lives on Navarre Beach, is no matter what party they're in, is going to get a ballot that only has the general election candidates for the Congressional District 1 race. So far, so good?
That is correct.
Okay. Somebody who lives in Milton and is a Democrat, let's imagine, There's only one Democrat or no Democrats on the House District 3 side. That person is going to get a general election ballot, and that's all. It's just for the Congressional District 1, and that's all they're going to get on April 1st, correct?
That is correct. Okay. If there is either no candidates or one candidate, and they would go straight to the general.
Right, you're okay.
Correct. Yeah.
No party affiliation, same thing. Republican voting on April 1st that lives in Milton is going to get a ballot that has Congressional District 1, Republican, Democrat, write-in. Well, no, they're not included, but, you know, if there's an NPA, I don't think there are any NPAs. You tell me if I'm wrong. I forget.
There is one.
Oh, okay.
There is one for the Congressional, yes.
Thank you. So Republican, Democrat, whoever wins tomorrow's primary, Republican, Democrat, and NPA, and then, of course, the option to write in, at the top of their ballot. Below that would be whoever qualified on the Republican side, and I think there's four at the moment, if I'm not mistaken, but as you say, we've got time for them to still qualify, will be on. So they'll get a ballot that's both a general and a primary ballot, and that's a single ballot. Is that right?
Correct. So okay. It will essentially be called a special election ballot at the top. Excuse me. And then as you go down the ballot, for if there's two different contests, and there'll be subheaders to say which one it is, if it's the special election ballot for Congressional District 1, and if that ballot is eligible to have the District 3 on there, it will be labeled as such.
And I guess there's a weird bit of, I don't know, maybe you didn't think about it, but there's a little bit of luck in the sense that there's nowhere that would have a D3 for the state house election that isn't also doing a Congressional District 1 general at the same time. So you don't have that weird problem, right? So I guess that's a nice
thing.
We're talking to Tappy Villain. She is a supervisor of elections in Santa Rosa County. Tappy, hang on for me for just a second. I need John Pickens to get a quick traffic on the files. John?
That's right. We're seeing slowdowns on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone. But other than that, Highway 29 southbound approaching the 9 Mile Road, you're seeing delays there. Other than that, traffic is good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. All right, back to Tappy Villain. You know, a lot of this is actually solved. I knew if I asked a smart person, there'd be a good answer. I'm assuming that in this process, because the primary for the special election for District 3 is being held the same day as the general for Congressional District 1, that's actually money savings of sorts, because you didn't have to have a separate primary and then a separate general. You have overlapping on the two elections at least. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes. Yes. So there will be some savings there. Yep.
Good news. And then the other, but how much is it costing? Like, how much extra is it costing to have to do the CD1, and then how much extra now is it going to cost to do the District 3 as well? Do we know?
We really don't know yet. I have asked the commissioners for $300,000 to cover both the January 28th and the April 1 election.
Okay.
After January 28th and we get everything in, we'll see how everything's kind of shaken out. I imagine I will have to go back and ask for additional for the June 10th. Assuming that we have candidates that, you know, qualify and would require a general election.
Okay.
But yeah, it's, you know, we're just kind of keeping an eye on it, and we shall see. But those are the amounts that I have, asked the commissioners for, and then also we have to report to the state what we are anticipating it to cost.
Okay. Oh, I did think of another scenario. Of course, you've already thought of this. It just dawned on me. If only Republicans have qualified for the primary on April 1st for District 3, and there are no write-ins and no NPAs and no Democrats, that would be the election because it'd be an open primary and there'd be no general, and we'd solve some of these problems and everybody get the same ballot as long as they live in District 3. Is that right?
Correct.
Well, yay. Let's hope for that. Because that would definitely save money.
Stay tuned, Andrew. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Right. Hey, I don't know if you know the answer to this, and you know, I apologize for not knowing. But if Joel Rudman, District 3, who resigned, that's the reason we're having the second special election. If he does not win the primary tomorrow, and therefore is not going to become the congressman, is he eligible to try again to be reelected to the seat that he resigned?
he would be eligible to try again.
Okay.
He would have to go through, you know, the same qualifying process as everyone else. But yes, there's nothing in statute that says he could not do that again.
Okay, I thought that was the case, but I just wanted to make sure and ask you. Last topic, which is maybe not necessarily one question, but tomorrow is the actual special election primary for Congressional District 1 for Republicans to vote. What do you want people to know? What might they not remember or realize? If the law has changed? I know the mail-in ballot thing is all done now because, you know, they would have had to early opt in for that because of the law, you know, sweeping out the names. But what do you want them to remember for tomorrow if they're planning to vote?
Yep. So as always on election day, you must go to the precinct where you live. And so that's probably the biggest question that we get every election day is, you know, somebody that may have voted by mail in the past or most recently early voting, because we had such an early voting turnout, especially in November. And so they may not remember that. So they show up at places that are typically early voting sites thinking that is their election day precinct, or maybe they've moved since they voted last time. So just making sure they go to their precinct. If they're not sure where that is, they can always contact our office today or even tomorrow. Give us a call or go on our website, votesantarosa.gov, and we'll get them to the right place. But that's usually our biggest question on election day. Also, if people have requested that vote by mail ballot, they are due back in our office by 7 p.m. tomorrow night. I know with last week's interesting weather, you know, there were a lot of things that were interrupted. Places were closed. Mail, you know, was delayed. So if people have those ballots, they may just want to drop them off at one of our office locations, either our main office here in Milton or our annex office at the South Service Center down in Gulf Breeze, but making sure that we get that back by 7 p.m.
Yeah, my wife had the same exact question because she was like, oh, I don't want to mail this now. What do I do? You know, with the weather from last week, it was a real dicey thing.
And another little interesting thing about vote by mail, if I could just plug it real quick, is that if people make a vote by mail request right now for all of these special elections we're having, it will actually carry them all the way through the end of 2026.
Oh, okay.
So unless they specify different, unless they say, no, I just want it for this particular one. But if they typically vote by mail, that's how the method they want to use, they can go ahead and request that, and then they're good to go. And whatever comes our way, they will get, you know, all the way through 2026.
Okay, good. So it'll be set for the entire two-year cycle, basically, which is how the law is set up. And I assume that you're, like, tomorrow it's all of the full precincts, even though I don't expect you to make a projection on something like this. I know I am expecting to have very low turnout because it's a, you know, I mean, it's a special election. It's a primary. It's, you know, like, there aren't not going to be many people most likely turn out tomorrow. But you have to have the same number of polling places open as if it were a presidential preference primary and everybody's turning out, right?
Correct. Yep. All 41 of our precincts. We actually have 23 locations because many of them share a location.
Yeah.
But all of them will be open from 7 to 7 tomorrow.
And you're good on volunteers? You've got enough people to staff everything okay?
We are. Thankfully, people are excited to come back. You know, they were surprised. They didn't think they would see us this quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yep, they're ready to go. And so, yep, we'll be setting everything up this afternoon and be ready for in the morning.
All right. Well, Tappy, thank you so much. Tappy Villain, Supervisor of Elections, Santa Rosa County. Thanks for the time. Thanks for explaining this to me when I was, as I said, a little bit confused with my questions in the beginning. I definitely appreciate that. And, you know, thank you for running the election so effectively. And, you know, I appreciate that we have good, clean, fair elections in Escambia and Santa Rosa County and complicated ones, at least in Santa Rosa County. Thanks so much for the time.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Have a great day.
You bet. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sarah, Happy New Year. You look amazing. How are things with you and Mark?
Lisa, I can't thank you enough for telling me about Wave Men's Health. We've totally rediscovered each other. Mark's working out. Oh, and we're doing more as a family than laying around watching TV.
I told you, they're incredible. My husband and I had the same experience. It's like having that spark all over again, isn't it?
Exactly. It's more than the physical. It's the connection, the energy. It's the best gift we could have given ourselves.
This new year, make the resolution that changes it all. Wave Men's Health brings you proven options for ED, low testosterone, and enhancement. Reignite your drive, rebuild your confidence, and show up in the moments that matter most.
Here's to more love and more joy in the year ahead.
Cheers to that.
Book your appointment today at WaveMensHealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. That's WaveMensHealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu to learn more.
The cooler weather in Pensacola is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's planting roses, planting shrubs and trees in cool weather color, and of course, planning for spring. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesdays, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware.
We all want to change Washington, but changing Washington starts right here in Northwest Florida. I'm Greg Merk, Republican for Congress. With a background in finance, I have a plan that will deliver President Trump his $2 trillion budget reduction target. It includes eliminating the useless climate spending, which costs taxpayers billions while strengthening our enemies. Truth is, the climate agenda is not about saving the planet. It's a global movement bent on fundamental change, control, and massive wealth redistribution. It's an attack on our sovereignty, our economy, and it's a threat to our national security. We live in the most military district in America. I served over 2 decades on active duty as a Navy pilot and an Air Force B-1 pilot with multiple tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's critical we send a combat-tested leader to Washington who understands the needs of our service members and retirees, and no one has more military experience in this race than me. Fact is, we have the plan, but we need the will. Send me to Washington, and not only will the people want it, they will demand it. It's time to send the Alpha to Washington. It's time to put Merck to work. I'm Greg Merck, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Greg Merk for Congress.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
If you're listening, whoa.
Good morning, 7:57 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. Happy Monday. Did your snowmen survive this far? I have my backyard snowman has got 2 pieces of his body left. Smaller, but still intact. Front yard snowman completely bit the dust yesterday. All that was left was the twiggy arms. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're traveling on Highway 90 from Pace into Pensacola, you're going to start to see some delays. It's backed up pretty well good there. Also, an accident just happened on Avalon Boulevard right there at Highway 90 in Avalon. I'll get more information on that. That literally just popped up. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Starting to see some congestion delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Trump is using an executive order to designate drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. Congressman Tony Gonzalez says that's more than just words.
The biggest thing is it allows other agencies to really go after these folks. You know, you take the gloves off.
And Gonzalez says the biggest part of that designation is that it would empower the State Department to impose economic penalties and travel restrictions. In Southern California, they got their first major rainfall of the year over the weekend, and they're now expecting a possibility of mudslides. Not good news after all the damage already caused by the wildfires.
Yeah, it's the classic problem. Like right after Hurricane Michael, you had fires were a danger, but you also had you know, flooding was an issue because the trees aren't there soaking up the water. And this is phase two, right? So
absolutely. And the IRS is now accepting and processing income tax returns. The average refund last year was about $3,100.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. And, you know, I know you hear from me some of the criticisms of some of the things Trump is doing, but also, he's doing so many things well. I have it at about 90 to 10. About 10%, what in the world are you thinking? 90%, go faster. Good. Keep it up. Listen.